No, not yet. Maybe in a few minutes or maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
Okay.
Right now, I want to just do spirit of love and shchai.
Ben shchai on Hanukkah.
That's right. Even though on the near Shabbos we say the Hadik near Shel Shabbos. Shabbos candles, we say to light the candles of Shabbos. But Hanukkah, we say the Hadik near Hanukkah. Now in Ashkenaz, we say Shel Hanukkah. Just for information. We don't say Shel. In the Sfarad and the Ari, we don't say Shel. So that's what you should have in mind. Nachal. Nahadlik Ner Chanukah is Nachal. We saw that a little bit in the Ari with whatever we did in the Ari, we found out. There's something called Nachal. Nachal, we spoke about something called the Binah. I just saw something about this. It's incredible. Yeah. Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim says like a flow. You're supposed to tap into one of the deepest ones. I don't remember where it was. Where I see it, in what context, I have no idea. But so Nachal, if there's a flow, there's something deep, deep inside that person's able to like connect to. That's what this Bechina of Nachal is. I do know where it's from. Yeah, it's one of the solutions for him later on. Later solutions for him, that's how he brings. That's Bechina's called a Nachal. That's the first thing. When I connect to this beautiful place, that's Nafshenu Chiksa LaHashem. The Rastan says Nachal, based on Rastan also, is Nafshenu Chiksa LaHashem. Our souls are yearning for God. That's called Nachal. So that's also Shetemis Noitzer Chesed Alafim. Noitzer Chesed Alafim is Nun Ches Lamed also Nachal. Right? So the Ben Shchai learned it the way he learned it. He said they were saved because they yearned. And Bitochen Hashem, and Hashem took care of them. That's why Kislev is Chav Vav. Chav is Kislev, the first word is Chav. The first is Chav. The last is Vav, which is Shem Vayim. And the Osis in the middle is Lamed Samech. And Yud is Lefukanach Sabras Hashem. I'm waiting for your delivery, Hashem. Lightly show us the Kavisi Hashem. So that's the Mishchai Ismahalach.
How's Chav Vav for Shemavaya?
Because Chav is 20 and Vav is very similar. So that's the unit 26. So that's this Bechena. So, first of all, Rav Nosson explains, Notzer Chesed La'alafim. We'll see in the Ari a little bit. Each day is a different one of the Bechena's 13 minutes of Rachel. So anyway, he said, Notzer Chesed La'alafim. Needs to right preserve kindness for thousands, right, for myriads. So he said, this Bechina you're from Mahalchim. So we're going on now. The Rav Nosson explains that Notzer is the letters Ratzon, right? Because you have this yearning. So the person yearns, you're supposed to be yearning for Hashem, and then everything comes into place the way it's supposed to. So we seem to be against unbelievable odds, and we need to yearn to Hashem, and that's how we beat the odds. Yearn, and everything works out. That's why the enemies here, sadly, we have all these enemies. They have to keep trying finding new ways of attacking. Because when a person starts to yearn to Hashem and doubting about something, then buses just don't work out so well anymore. It gets much harder suddenly. Because we're praying, it goes tremendous protection. We don't think of it different angles, and they're, a new angle, this angle, that angle. That's to give them, they're true. They keep trying the old ones, but the old ones stop working. So when they try new ones, then maybe they have a chance. Shemin Rachim. So actually, yeah, it's very interesting. Like, you think, what's the difference? Why is this way yes and that way no? What difference does it make? Because people start dominating, it stops working so well. So it gets harder. So that's the whole Nir of Chanukah. That's the whole Nir of Chanukah. It's Meitzer Chesed La'alafim. That the Chesed, Meitzer Chesed La'alafim, gets the Chesed by yearning. We're able to preserve Chesed La'alafim. We just yearn for Hashem and everything comes together. Whatever you want, you have to really yearn. It's like no excuse. You know, when you want to do something and you have barriers. The bears don't let it. So you have to be happy with potential. The Rebbe says, when you want something, as if you did it. He said, but don't be satisfied with the as if you did it. You have to yearn. He said, no. I want very much, and then it'll happen too. So we have to yearn. We shouldn't be satisfied. On the one hand, we don't have to feel bad. We feel very thankful. Even the yearning is very precious and good. But on the other hand, I want to actualize potential, not just state potential, and then actual. So he continues, if you didn't say Shechionu on the first night, you say on the second. Also a mourner should say Shechionu in his house. But an onin, a person who that day lost someone, makes a bracha without, would make life without a bracha. He can't make a bracha. It's better for him to send a messenger. That's most proper. So Shechionu,
so he would have someone else lie for him?
It's better.
Such as a wife?
Yeah, great. Much better.
Why is he lying without a bracha?
Because an oni is not allowed to do any mitzvah with the bracha.
Before the burial.
He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't.
Eating can make shampoo.
Even eating pastas, he doesn't.
Wow, I
don't know. I mean, there's a famous story with, I forgot who it was, who was on the plane. He sees this guy looks religious and not, went to Warash and didn't make any bracha. So sitting next to him. And then he explained, his father's in the plane. So of course, as Rav said, you are still an Oni, more than long, so you can't, no bracha. I was down a cup hole. I wasn't so religious, and I got a little melancholy, and now I'm like, oh, Nebuch, I understand, oh, it's not allowed, not allowed. That's not so simple, as it's actually kach, it's not so clear, but b'cholofen, that's how he got the rules ruled for him. Okay, to Shechionu, we thank Hashem that we made it till this time. We're thankful. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, Hashem, that I got to this place. You know, but Nelson explains one of the things we fix when it comes to Hanukkah. We fix the Emunas Chachamim. We fix, they need to have belief in the sages. They need to believe in the sages in the Torah, all the Torah, Torah Shabbat Ped, them taking care of us. They forcibly, it's well known, the Maral explains, the Yavanim had the Jewish people ride on their oxen. We have no portion in the God of Israel. So he said, why in the world specifically oxen? He said, because it's the eagle, and that's what I think our sages say, represents the eagle. Go from the golden calf, you guys were already slung out, halfway out the door. So, the Maral explains, he says, you know, that's what they wanted to say. They wanted to say, you know, you have no connection. You reject it. It's over. So he says, the truth is, there's no such thing. So because the Jewish people were very unusual people. Usually the people forms in the country, and then slowly but surely, they, you know, something happens, they become part of the country they're in. We were slaves in Egypt, right? In America, they were slaves, they were free, they became part of the country they were in. They became American, they became, everyone has their own, you know, you go to another country, you become part of that country, you come here.
They some way.
So with us, what happens to us? We left the country, we came in as a family, we became, sort of were subsuming the country, became slaves, we never had our own nation. We left and our nationhood came together with the Torah. Because we're inextricably bound up with Hashem and the Torah, and there's no way to break. So that was the entire, that was the whole reason for Jewish nationhood. So therefore, there was no such thing. There was no such thing as the eagle broke it. There was nothing else. Another nation, if God had chosen another nation, they would revert back to what they were. We were nothing. We didn't exist. So there was no other, there's nowhere to go. This is it. This is our entire identity. So that's the idea of making a Shechionu, because he said that having Emunas Chachamim, a person is connected properly to the sages and the later works, the people of deeper Sfarim, we start to understand different ways, different counsel, different workable strategies of how to ascend and become close to Hashem. So therefore, we say Shechionu. Thank you, God, for giving me life until this time. Right, when you sustain it, you came into this time, we can get totally new strategies in how to light up the darkness, basically. That's the Indian, that's a little bit of the Indian of Shechionu specifically here.
So, Rosalber say I am nothing. That means that that's my first step in creating a relationship with Hashem?
You said, I know nothing? You said,
I am nothing.
I am nothing. This is a long discussion, because many Brestovers said, and Uman used to say, you're not allowed to say I am nothing. Because Rav Nachman said to Rav Nosson asked him a question. He said, you know, the, it's yusdei that everyone, or not yusdei that everyone is going to be make the next world, even non-Jews, just a malik not. Non-Jews also, whatever they're going to, whatever level, maybe a lower level, but whatever the level is, they're going to, you don't jump a soul so fast. A malik's not going to make it. Someone who managed to put himself in the category of a malik, he spent 24/7 without any spiritual content, any goodness, any generosity, nothing like that at all, for a spiritual reason at all, at all, at all. He liked hard work a little bit, and he did it, so he'll be blown away. But the Gemara says, certain sinners, they become, they go through 12 months of Gehenna, and then they become dust under the feet of the tzaddikim. Doesn't sound good. I mean, that doesn't sound like some kind of continuity. So David said, no, no. Dust in the feet of tzaddikim, yes. But not nothing. That's what David said. And that means, pashtus, that, like an Ochal says, that, which wasn't available at that point, but it means that compared to the higher level, it's going to be like nothing, but it's not really nothing. So the Brest was saying, you're not going to say you're nothing. You aren't nothing. No matter what, you're going to have some kind of sustaining forever. So there are people who say they're nothing anyway, and I guess it's a different stream, different way of looking at it, to try to nullify. I know nothing. The tzaddikim story of the child made completely of precious stone, they said, I know nothing. That's true. But I'm nothing, why am I nothing?
And maybe that's what I meant.
That's what I'm asking. Because some people say I am nothing, but presumably that's too far. That's way too far. I used to say it also, but then I ran into Steve, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. You can't really say that, now can you? That makes sense. So like, I'm not saying, but like, bottom line is a person who, when I realize that I know nothing, right? I'm trying to make a little bit of space to bring on this in. If I think I know and I'm holding, I'm complete, so then great. But if you don't, so you know that there is space, I'm making space in myself for Hashem. Because we're generally speaking, we can be easily fill ourselves up with our own needs, our own selves, and then it's very hard to remember God in there. So as Morales says, when you realize that you're yearning, he also talks about Austin actually, so when you're yearning for something, so then there's space for more. So, but when you're complacent, there's no space for anything. I'm okay. I know everything. I understand. Okay, you know. Very good. But there's no space for anything anymore. It's all you. There's no God there. It's just me. So you're off. Okay, so next thing. She says, it's a mitzvah to put it in the tefach near the doorway. Even nowadays, when we light inside, it's still a mitzvah to put it near the doorway. What did the Rebbe explain? He says, oh, beautiful idea. He said, this is to remind us that sin is always crashed by the door. So you have to light up the Hanukkah candles, because if you have a connection like you should to the Hanukkah candles, he said, then you're already on a totally different level. The old level, the old problems don't exist anymore. It's very sad that we don't understand this. We don't really connect. I have to really work very hard to remember this, to wake myself up. See, the Hanukkah is an opportunity to really, really, the grace you didn't bring from the Bava Rebbe would say, Hanukkah, you have a half hour, people sit at the candles. Why? Because you're supposed to make Chesed Nefesh. You're supposed to think deeply and say, where am I going? I want to light up. I don't want darkness. I want light. Where am I? What is going on with my life? That's the...
I heard that you're not supposed to think at all. You're supposed to peer at the flames. Is
it a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, and that's the correct way. Mm. But there's one little condition. When you're looking at the flames, you're seeing the Ora Gonos. The light that God put away for the next world, we see in those flames. If you perceive that, don't do anything. But if you don't perceive that, start to think about why. That's what becomes evident. It's not wrong. And don't tell this guy off, because he's seeing the whole world. You know, there were people looked in the Hanukkah candles that could see anywhere, anything. You know, there's a story about Tanya. He told his Talmud, but he was afraid. He had to travel. Hanukkah, he said, bring the best Hanukkah menorah and sing the songs properly. Good, the Rebbe said, he brings this really nice Hanukkah menorah and, you know, he lights the candles and he's singing and he's really connecting as well as he can. And, if I'm remembering the story right,
correctly, I think that they were bandits, and they were just afraid. They saw this tremendous kind of vibration, this like immense flame, and they ran right into the hands of the authorities or something. He said, "What happened? What do you do? Where's the fire? I just need a light." So yeah, you can do anything. The light of a halakha candle is like no end. So what you could do with that, people used to go to anything you wanted. Halakha candles were like so powerful, you know. But if you don't see it, so you have to know why not. You know, then you think, "I'm sorry, I don't know about you, but I need to do some thinking." Unfortunately, again, there you know, who are they? See, great, amazing. Ashrei Chalakha. The story with the Rebbe Tolosar, and also he said. Rebbe Tolosar, he one time, he was very ill. They brought a doctor, and he was like, "Dr. Meyer, usually he's very long, short, so I don't feel well." They brought a doctor, it's like, "Wow, he's really not doing good. Maybe we'll bring more doctors, consult, what can we do with this poor fellow?" So meanwhile, he said, "I'll wait for them." He summoned a few more doctors, and he went home. He lived, you know, made a shot, and then it wasn't so religious like today. This doctor was not religious. So he lived not that far away, maybe up just off the block, I don't know, so I'm not really sure, maybe a little further. So they made the motion, he's bringing the Hanukkah candles to light the candles. Looking at his bed. He's putting in his bed, he's like, "Make a candle, a light for him." And then he just, you know, he's like, he's looking at the Hanukkah candles, he takes the fire, he's holding it very weak, he starts to bruch, but you hardly hear him. Then he starts, "Ato," he starts to the bruch with such a fire. By the time he was done with the bruchas, he was like jumping. He lit the candles and started dancing. I said, "Go call that doctor." They didn't say anything to him. They come, he's like, "Oh my god, it got worse, and he was really deadly sick." He comes in, he says, he's dancing, and told him what happened. He said, "This is not a natural thing." And he decided to do tshuva. He said, "Wow, this is just not the man was gonna like check out. I thought he was gonna check out." And here he is, like on fire, because he lit the comment again. I was like, "What does that have to do? It's like a non secretary, unless you believe in some spiritual stuff, which I don't know much about. Then maybe I can understand. But otherwise, I don't get it. Like, how did he? That's just, what's going on with Hanukkah? There's no answer to that. It's unbelievable. But if we're not privy to it, so then we have to understand why." So the Bevel Rebbe also, he says the same idea also. He said, even though we're lighting inside, it's not presuming, so you're not, for those who light inside, still the same light inside, and also Adiberich, so people light inside. See them, some of them light inside nowadays also. He said, nevertheless, we light in the Tepach nearby. He said, because it says in the Pasuk, that the Yitzhara, our sages learn from the verse by kind, the Yitzhara is always waiting by the door. Crouch by the door. He wants to mess us up on a little thing, first of all. Something small. Then he wants to drag us away. Or to worse, he said, but Hashem says, "You will rule him all through the Torah," our sages say. So that's why we light the candles near the doorway, because the Or HaGadol isn't in these candles, like I just said. Many, many, many sources say that. So that's our weapon. The weapon is the organ, it's connected to the spiritual light of the world. That's the weapon, how we fight the other side. Can't grab us with bad thoughts. He said, also the eyes are Pesach. That's what lets things in. Don't go after your eyes. That's why we look at these candles near the Pesach. We want to say, "No, I want the organus to fight the light. I don't want to go the other way."
Can I ask a maybe divergent question? That's what we're doing in Elyon this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Is the organus related to Adam Kadim, or is it
of course related to all of these different bechinas? But everything's be'erichin. Everything depends on your level and where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very, very big kitzur. What we call Adam Kadim spans the whole bechina, so there's going to be something somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is how and what that means. That's its own idea. So that's the bechina here. That's what we're talking about here. So the Beis Chai has his own opinion of what he's right. His own halach of what we're talking about. I guess we'll just finish this tip and then we'll want to look today. But I guess kind of late. I came late. Can't talk to people. Yeah. Okay. So we have like this. So he says, so the Beis Chai goes to his own mahalach. He says, "Listen, you're standing in the tzitzis, you have tzitzis on, you light your candle, and you have mezuzah." So he says, "That priest is tzitzis and tzadik, mezuzah is mem, chanukah is chayas, it's tzemach, the name of Mashiach, the verse is tzemach shmoy, that priest Mashiach."
pregnant piece. So
he says, you have tzitzis, mezuzah, and chanukia. You by the doorway, and you have your tzitzis on.
Right.
And your mezuzah, the medrash says something to this effect. He says, so therefore, he says, that brings tzemach. Tzemach is the name of es tzemach David, right? The offspring of David, right? We ask for offspring. Tzemach is the name of Mashiach. So that brings Mashiach. That's how he explains it. It brings us to the light of Mashiach and brings Mashiach closer. Fine. So again, he says, where to put the candles? You should put it so that you move it to the right. Put it near the doorway. Presumably, it should be your end candle. First night, next night, it's second to last, and then the first. That's what he goes. There are other ways also to light it if you're doing it this way. He says, if you don't have a mezuzah, then you can put it on the side of the mezuzah, but mostly we have mezuzah, so we'll leave that alone for now. Fine, very good. She'd say we learned enough of the spirit of the body, so that's good. Okay.